And then after they're reading the psalm, then the children will leave for their program. This is this passage that we've been looking at over the last few Sunday nights, and we've been trying to look at different difficult situations and looking at their opposite. And tonight we're looking at the whole area of worry. And then we're going to look at the opposite to that. So let's listen to what the psalmist wrote. Psalm 37, reading from verse 1. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness reward shine like the dawn, and your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and then the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Amen. May God bless us, the reading of his word. The children want to head out to their program for tonight. I always love that part of the service of how God brings so many children into this place, and he gives us people to watch over them and help them to grow. And then in years to come, as we chat with them and talk with them and we see how God has been working in their lives. I've had a couple of chats with folks this week, one who had gone off to university, and he's his first year done. I was chatting with Johnny beforehand, and he's finishing this year. And it seems like no time that there were totes running around in the old Wellington. God has been good to us. But you know, I wonder tonight, are you worrying about things? Are there particular things that you worry about? You see, some of us can make worry like an Olympic sport. We could get gold medals for it. We love to worry. Not even just about our own problems, but about other people's problems too. We worry about all sorts of different things. I just wrote down a few today. We worry about our lives. We worry, will we get the right education? Will we get the right job? Will we earn the right amount of money? We worry, will we get the right house? Will we find the right place? Will the house be big enough for what we want? We worry, will we have the right car? We worry when we'll have to change it. We worry about our children. We worry about their education. We worry about their health. We worry about what we're going to make for tea. And as soon as we finish tea, we worry what we're going to make for supper. We finish supper and we worry what we're going to have for breakfast. We worry. We worry if our hair is too long, and we worry if it's too short. We worry, will we get to sit in our usual seat? We worry if the service will finish on time. You and I, we can find 1,001 things to worry about. And I've already said, we even get the time to worry about what other people are worrying about. And yet, that's not what God asks of us. Fret, which is the word used in the passage that we read tonight, is an old English word, fretten, meaning to devour, to eat away at, or to gnaw away. And you might remember that a few weeks ago, Jonathan spoke on this, and he mentioned about two pieces of metal rubbing together to cause a fret. But what does worry do? What does it do to us physically? Worry can affect us both physically and mentally. People can suffer stomach ulcers. They can suffer panic attacks. They can suffer headaches. And at times, worry can take people to the brink of feeling like life isn't worth living anymore. Worry can do real damage. F.B. Meyer says that worry chokes the life of faith. It does not help us overcome difficulty, but unfits us for dealing with them. And Spurgeon said that the anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. And here's a few other quotes that I found this past week. Worry gives a small thing a big shadow. Worry is like a rocking horse. It will give you something to do, but you won't get anywhere. And probably one of the most poignant ones, worry is an indication that we think God can't look after us. And that's a devastating one, because it's true. When we worry, what we're saying to God is, you're not big enough for this. You can't deal with what I'm going through. So we're going to look at some passages from the Old Testament, and then we're going to come back to the passage that we looked. Sorry, we'll look at some passages from the New Testament, and then come back to look at Psalm 37. I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 25. This was Jesus on his teaching to the crowd, and it comes in amongst lots of different aspects that he has been teaching on. This is what he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble as its own. Amen. Jesus gives us this command not to worry about our lives, not to worry about what we will eat, not to worry about what we will drink, not to worry about our bodies, about what we will wear, not to worry about tomorrow, but to concentrate on today. He spoke to men and women who had very little. He spoke to people who were leaving everything behind in order to follow him, giving it all up, losing everything to come after him. And yet he says to them, do not worry. See how I have provided for the birds. See how I have provided food for them. If I can do that for them, what am I going to do for you? I will do so much more than even that. We have a God who knows exactly the needs that each and every one of us have. You may not have plenty. I may not have plenty, but I have enough, and you have enough. I was thinking back to the days when my mum was a single parent with three teenagers, and all of us very much involved in sporting life and doing all sorts of different bits and pieces. We lived in Carrickfergus. She worked as a secretary in Belfast. We lived on her pay as a secretary, which wasn't very much back then. But I know this, that there wasn't a night that we went that there wasn't a meal on the table. There wasn't a day that I went to school that I didn't have my school uniform and everything that I needed for school. And if I needed extra bits and pieces, well, then I was quickly taught that you go out and you do things to earn money. Go out and babysit or whatever, or work in a shop or whatever, to provide. God watched over us. And he watches over you and he watches over me. And God provides what we need. He will not leave you. He will provide what you need. You do not need to worry about those things. Turn with me then over to Philippians chapter 4. Just down at verses, we'll read from verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul moves us from the command of to not be anxious about anything to actually how we deal with that. And he comes here and he tells us that it's by prayer and petition to God. And added into that prayer and petition is thanksgiving, of praising him and worshiping him for all that he has given us. And as we do that, as we come to him and we talk with him and we share with him and we pour out with him and we allow him to have control of the situation, his unspeakable peace comes into the situation. And he will give you rest of mind, rest of body. Flip with me then over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And one verse just. Cast all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. I want to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. It used to be when Desi Montgomery was here, when we would do staff meeting and look at different verses, Desi would always have read from the Amplified, and it's always open brackets, closed brackets and stuff. But when I went to look at this then, I find this powerful. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all. It's when we pour out everything to God, when we tell him every little detail, when I take that and I give that to him and I leave that with him, and then I trust him. And it's the trust aspect that brings in the peace. I think sometimes our difficulty is that we go to him and we take the problem to him and we leave it at his feet. We finish our prayer time and then we pick the problem back up again and we walk with it again. And then we come to him again and we stop and we say, this is the problem. And we leave it with him. We finish our prayer time and we pick it up and we walk with it again. It's the learning to trust him, to leave it with him, to allow him to have it. Turn with me back to that Psalm 37. Verse 1 of the Psalm says, do not fret because of evil men. And it's followed on through then to verse 3 where he says, trust in the Lord and do good. If the behavior of evil men worries me, my first step has to be to believe and trust that God is more powerful than any evil person or any situation that I'm going through. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Do I trust that God is bigger than the situation that I am facing, about the things that I'm worrying about? And if the answer is yes, then surely that is something then that we don't have to worry about. If we really believe that God is bigger than our problems, that God has got our lives under his control, then surely we need to learn to be at peace. We can have peace if we trust him. And we can know his peace because of that. On Thursday night, all day Thursday, I was down at the PWA annual meeting. And in the evening time, we had to lift the offering, which sounds a very simple thing if you do it all the time. But if you've never done it before and you're suddenly put into a strange place and asked to do it, it's a bit more difficult. If you're asked to do it and the year before you've done it and it's been a disaster, then your worry starts to take over. So the person I was with on Thursday night, that's what happened to her last year. She was lifting the offering, the thing went totally wrong. She felt really embarrassed at the end of the night. The plate went missing and all the rest of it. And so she was asked to lift the offering, and she was in absolute panic station. She had worried about it all. She'd agreed to do it, but worried about it all week. So she was put with herself, and she kept telling me, I'm really worried about it. The whole day, afternoon, kept telling me, we're worried. And I said, look, we'll be fine. It's an easy block. And the block was literally here to the sound desk. Okay, so it wasn't rocket science, right? So we started off, and she was on one side, and I was at the other side. So every time it came for her to put the basket on, we sort of kept eye contact, and I was like, no, did you put the basket? And we got to the back, and there was no disaster. And I never seen anybody as excited about having managed the offering. She had worried about it all week. But here was the thing that God was teaching me out of it, teaching me. We kept eye contact. We never took our eyes off each other at each row. And when the time is right to move on to the next place, just nodded. And it went to the next place. Isn't that so much like us and God? The worries come and take control when we take our eyes off him. When we see the problems around us and draw him out of the situation. It's a bit like Peter, remember when Peter walked on water and he climbed down out of the boat and he had his focus on Jesus. And then when he took his focus on Jesus, and it says that he saw the wind, even though you can't see the wind, you can see the effects of the wind. When he took his eyes off Jesus onto that, he sunk. You and I are exactly the same. Getting our focus on Jesus, keeping our eyes on him. And when we keep our eyes on him, the waves don't crash over us. But when we take our eyes off him and begin to think about the worries and the problems and all that could go wrong, then things will crash in over us. Trust in the Lord. Keep your focus on him. Verse 4 says that we're to delight ourselves in the Lord and he will give us the desires of our heart. Delight yourself. Do you, do I, do you really enjoy God? Do you get excited to be in his presence? Do you get excited in his word? Do you get excited to sing and to praise? Do you get excited in prayer? Do you get excited when you meet other believers? Do you get excited when you get a chance to chat with them, maybe about what you've been reading or maybe something that God has said to you that day or a verse that you've really enjoyed, that God has really spoken to you through? Do you really delight in him? Sometimes we need to take a step back and look at the beauty around us. Look at what he's given us. I look at this place and I'm constantly amazed at what God has done in it. I'm constantly delighted and excited by things that he has done since we have moved here. I watch those kids going out, or children going out on a Sunday night. And I can think back years ago when we didn't have that. When we didn't have young people in at the service at all. When we didn't have people in midlife in at the service at all. And isn't it amazing what God has done? Isn't it amazing the prayers that he has answered from we have moved in here? Of the people that we prayed that would come here and how God has answered that. And he says, delight yourself in me. Enjoy me. Get excited. Laugh. Enjoy him. Be delighted in him. Verse 5 says that we're to commit our way to him. At the start of each day, in the middle of each day, at the end of each day, and every bit in between, keep committing yourself to his way. Keep following him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep talking to him day in and day out. And as part of all of that is confession. It's confession of saying, Lord, I'm struggling here. I'm finding it hard going here, Lord. I've got X, Y, Z going on in my life, Lord. And I'm afraid, Father, that my focus is going off you and it's going on to these things. Constantly keep talking to him and committing your way to him. Ask him for his help. Commit yourself that you're going to choose to trust him. That you're going to choose to believe that he has your situation under control. That you're going to commit to leaving the situation with him. Commit your way to him. And in verse 7. Be still before the Lord. And wait patiently on him. Two things that are hard to do for some of us. Be still and await patiently. Time and time again, when I've worried about things, I've had to learn to stop, to be still, to stop striving, to stop trying to fix things in my own strength, to wait patiently for God to act in the way that he desires to act. For some years, we have had an ongoing family situation. And I decided a few months ago that it had to be fixed. Had enough. End of story. Going to be fixed. I was going to sort it out. I had had sleepless nights. It was on my mind every day. I couldn't get it out of my head. I worried about it day in and day out. And I said enough was enough. It had to be sorted. So I made the arrangements to meet one of the parties involved. And it was on a Saturday. And as I came out of the house, Alistair drove up to my front door. Now, Alistair never drives up to my door on a Saturday. And I was kind of surprised to see him. And I can't even remember why he was there. But all I can remember is that I ended up telling him what was happening and what I intended to do. And his advice to me was this. And it was a part he touched on this morning. He told me, Anna, you can't fix this. You can't make this person feel what you want them to feel. And I truly believe that Saturday morning that God has sent Alistair to my door. I left him. I drove up in the car. I talked to God the whole way up in the car. I told him that I wasn't going to worry about this anymore. That I was going to leave it with him and it was up to him to sort it out. I met with the person. I talked with them. We talked about all sorts of things. We touched very briefly on what in my head was the problem. A few weeks later, I shared with some friends. We have prayed about that situation. I can genuinely now say I don't worry about it. It's not my problem. I have given it to God. I'm leaving it with God. And God will sort it out. Has it been fully sorted out? No. But that's not up to me. That's up to God and His timing. All He asked me to do is to trust Him with my worries and to leave them with Him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently on Him. So let me recap tonight because we've got a battle plan. We have a command from God in Matthew's Gospel that we're not to worry. We're not to worry about our lives, what we'll eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. And we're not to worry about tomorrow. From Paul in Philippians, we have a command not to be anxious about anything, but instead by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we're to take it to God. And from 1 Peter, we're told that we're to cast all of our anxieties on God because He cares for us. The psalmist has told us that we're to trust in the Lord. We're to delight in Him. We're to commit our ways to Him. And we're to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I want to ask you what's going on in your life tonight. You know the things that have been or are causing you to worry. You know the things that you've been battling through each day. And you know that there are days when it feels as if it's not getting any easier. That you wake up in the morning and that the worry is still there. It won't go away. For some of you, you have worried about coming to Christ. Of making Him your Lord and your Savior. Because you're worried of the impact on your life. You're worried about what that will happen to friendships. You're worried about what will happen in your workplace. You're worried about what will happen within your family. God's promise is that He is there for you. He is there with you. And if you will pray to Him and invite Him into your situation, then His promise is that He will come. He will provide you with what you need. Whether that's to eat, to drink, to wear, whether that's about whatever's going on in your life, He will do that. And so we're going to take a moment or two and we're going to pray together. And then after we've prayed together, I'm going to lead in prayer. I'm going to leave a space for you to pray. And whether that's that you need to pray the prayer of salvation. That you need to come to a point of saying, Lord, you know something, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm going to trust you. Or whether that's you're worried about your health, or you're worried about your family's health, or you're worried about a financial situation, or you're worried about your job, whatever it is. I want you tonight, when it comes to time of silence, just to come before God. And just as the Amplified Version says, give him all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all. And then after the service tonight, if you want folks to pray with you, then Victor, myself, and different ones from the prayer team are about. We will be here for you if you want somebody to pray with you for whatever your situation is that you're worried about. Come and speak this. But we're going to pray together now. Let's pray together. Father, so often worry can dominate our lives. Can stop us, Lord, from achieving all that you want us to achieve because we're afraid to step out. Worry, Lord, of what will happen in the future stops us, Lord, even coming to you and asking you to come into our hearts as Lord and Savior. We're frightened of what the impact will be. We worry about how we would cope, Lord, if we did that. What would happen in our workplace? What would happen in our families? Lord, the worry stops us coming to you. Some of us, Lord, tonight are worried about our health. And we're worried about the health of our family, and we're worried about the health of our friends. And we need to come to you tonight, Lord. Some of us are worried about our financial position, of our mortgages, of debt that we have. Some of us are worried about our marriages. Some of us are worried about our children, about their exams. Father, would you still us tonight? Would you allow us, Lord, just to step into your presence as individuals? Just to pour out to you, Lord, what it is we're worried about. Father, your word promises that you will care for us. You know exactly what we need. Father, in the silence, meet with each one of us as we pour out to you, Lord, what our worries and our concerns and our anxieties are, Lord. Hear our prayers.